I think the first place we'll look at maybe will be Isaiah chapter 53, if you want to open your Bibles to that. Isaiah 53. It'll take me a little while to get there, as is my custom. Isaiah 53, 10 and 11. What kind of got me started on the thoughts that are on my mind today is a quote from a book by C.S. Lewis. Here's the quote. God is easy to please, but hard to satisfy. I'm going to say that again. God is hard to please, but easy to satisfy. That is totally wrong. Scratch that. Just to show how quickly we can short our minds out. God is easy to please, but hard to satisfy. Now, I don't think C.S. Lewis biblically understood that. I'm not trying to be mean. I beg you to pray for me. And here's kind of what this whole sermon will be driving at. God's children, as God's children, can please God in their daily lives. God's children are no longer totally depraved. Let me throw that out there for you to think about. God's children can please God in their daily lives. God is well pleased with His children when they grow, advance, and learn. Amen? Just as a parent, just as a parent rejoices at his child's first step, amen? I ask you, does that please any parent? Any parent is going to be pleased at his child's first step. Amen. So is God pleased with His children when they grow in grace and knowledge of the truth? Y'all, this is true. Listen to me. Even though we cannot ever totally satisfy God. We can never, are you listening? We can never be that good, that perfect, that mature, that sinless. Are you with me? But my beloved, Christ was just that perfect. He was just that mature. He was just that sinless. Jesus Christ satisfied God in His life and in His death. And my beloved, how are you listening? He did so on your behalf. So, I want you to know, in the eternal and ultimate sense, God is totally satisfied with you. Through the work Jesus Christ did, for you. Are you with me? It's all in Christ, you see. In this way, my beloved, and only in this way, that is, through the fact that Christ satisfied God totally on your behalf, because of that, and only because of that, we can please God in our daily lives. Are you listening? It is unbelievable, incredible. And I want you to listen to me. Are you listening? You can please God in your daily life, and it does not take your personal perfection to please God. Did you hear me? You know why it doesn't take your personal perfection to please God? Because Christ's personal perfection has already satisfied God totally on your behalf. Are you with me? It's so great to have these babies in here. I hope every baby in this church hugs the prep pastor on the way out. My friends, because Christ satisfied God completely, we can please God in our daily lives. I want you to know that. God, listen to me. God is not expecting you to be perfect. Now, when I say perfect, I mean sinless, no mistakes. I know the word perfect means mature. God does expect us to eventually be mature. There's no question. But God is not expecting you to be sinless and absolutely perfect. And you know why? He knows you can't be that way. And God knew that and sent Christ for us. Are you with me? And my beloved, I want you to know, if you can understand and believe what I'm telling you, it will please God greatly that you believe it. You know, the gospel is much more about us believing correctly than behaving correctly. Again, I quote Elder Dickie Hauptgewachs, whom I have named Pastor Profundity. My beloved, I want you to recognize this morning that Christ is your perfection. Christ is your sinlessness. You, listen to me, you are under no obligation to be absolutely perfect and sinless as God's children, because Christ was that for you. And in believing this and knowing this, you can please God. Perfectionism is a dead end street. Are you hearing me? I need your prayers. There's something in you. Now here's the dilemma the child of God has. I need your prayers bad. There's something in you that wants to be perfect. It's called the inner man. It is perfect and wants to be perfect. The dilemma we have is we still have this house of clay, which keeps that from happening. Do you know God understood that? Am I saying you should not strive to grow in grace? We should all strive to grow in grace. But here's what I want you to understand. If we think we're going to be perfect, we are kidding ourselves. Our perfection is only in Christ. So what we should do is love God, love Christ, And when we fail, lay our failures at the feet of the God that made us perfect in Christ. This is huge. All true theology, my friends, begins with the holiness of God and the depravity of man. The holiness of God, the depravity of man. All theology begins with that, even eschatology. We must never forget these two. Y'all look, God is so holy that sin is an offense to him. Now, you and I can't hardly even conceive of such a being, that sin is an offense to him. Man is so dead in sins that he cannot do anything acceptable in God's sight until he's born again. Both of these issues, God's total perfection, man's total depravity, both of these issues are answered and solved in the atonement that is in Christ Jesus. God's absolute perfection is totally satisfied. Man's death in sins totally fixed in Christ. And only in Christ. God's righteousness and God's righteous law had to be kept if man would ever be made accepted in the beloved. Y'all know, I'm telling you, there's a sense in which, in the ultimate frame of things, God does not accept the unacceptable. But he's made you accepted in the beloved. Unbelievable. Now I want y'all to know, listen to me, sin is not just a matter of man's well-being. The deal about sin is not just the fact that it destroys man and messes man up, although that's true. There also is the side of sin that it is an offense to God. And Christ is the one that put both of those in order. Do you understand me? Sin destroys man, there's no question. Sin will harm us. Sin in our lives harms us, doesn't it? But the real issue about sin is that sin offends God. Christ set both these things which you and I could not possibly answer either one of them, Christ answers both sides of that coin. Unbelievable. Okay, Romans 8:8. Okay, I said Isaiah 3. Don't turn to Romans 8, just listen. I'm trying to hurry. Romans 8:8 says, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Did y'all hear that? They that are in the flesh, that is not born again, cannot please God. You can't even please God when you're unregenerate, much less totally satisfy God. Are you with me? Hebrews says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. And we know that before regeneration, we do not possess faith. Are you listening? Well, we're in a pickle, aren't we? What in the world are we going to do since we can't even please God to even begin to essay to satisfy the law of God? It is obviously impossible. Man that is born of woman cannot satisfy the law of God. Are you listening? In any way, shape, or form. Y'all, listen to me. Even as God's born-again children, we cannot satisfy the law of God. You know why? Because you still got sin dwelling in our mortal bodies. How often do those bad thoughts go through your mind? How often do bad words come out of your mouth? Well, maybe they don't. Maybe you're not like me. Mike was over at my house trying to fix my computer, and I had to go out in the backyard and cuss. Almost. That's not altogether true, but that's only a very slight exaggeration. As depraved sinners, we can't even please God, much less keep His holy and righteous laws to absolute perfection. Are you listening to me now? I want to ask you, did we need Christ or what? Only Christ, who did not have a sinful nature because He was virgin born, could satisfy the laws of God to absolute perfection, and He did. I want you to know that is a done deal, a calcified fact. It is not something that is contingent upon what you and I do. It ought to be obvious that we, as dead in sins, cannot do help with that. We cannot assist with that. This is something that Christ accomplished in His humanity, which was perfect. See, the problem we've got, even our humanity is not perfect. We may like to think it is. Brother Wayne said, "Man, you look so handsome today," or something like that. "You're, nah, maybe not handsome. I forget that. Well dressed." And that's right. Don't you forget. How crazy are we? As long as I'm not looking in a mirror at a photograph, I can delude myself into thinking I look pretty good. Do we not delude ourselves? I ask you. Isaiah 53:10 now. I believe Isaiah 53:10 and 11 is telling us how Christ satisfied the just and holy law of God. Let me remind you. The deal with sin is not just that it destroys man. The deal with sin is it also offends God. And Christ answered both sides of that coin. And only Christ. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. God put Christ to grief. When thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin, God made the soul of Christ an offering for sin. He shall see His seed, that is, the Father, saw Christ's spiritual seed. Remember, Christ didn't have physical children. And by the way, that seed right there, are you listening, is all of God's sheep, all the elect, Jew and Gentile, from the beginning down to the end of time. God saw His seed, He shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. Y'all, there's no such thing as in this case, the pleasure of the Lord withering in the hand of Christ. Next expression, look at the English of it. He, that is God the Father, shall see of the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. He, God the Father, shall see of the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. Now I think what that means is God saw the ultimate end, the final result of the suffering of Christ's soul. And what was the ultimate result, the ultimate end? It was that our sin be put away from us as far as the east is from the west, put in the ocean, behind the Lord's back, never to be remembered against us anymore, for an eternity. God saw that in the satisfaction that Christ made, and it satisfied God completely. Y'all understand? This is talking about Christ's atonement, made satisfaction with God the Father. God was totally satisfied with the death of Christ. Pause. I wish theologians were satisfied with the death of Christ. But so many of them are not. They think we've got to add something to the death of Christ. I am just flabbergasted to think of this. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge, that means by his experience, what Christ experienced, shall my righteous servant. The Bible just right there called Christ God's righteous servant. Did you know he's the only righteous servant ultimately that God ever had? All of us are servants of God. Say amen. And by the strength, the more you realize you are the servant of God, the freer you will be. But God only had, listen, Jesus Christ is the only righteous man ever to live. Righteous from the get-go. Through his whole life. Y'all, listen to me. That's what it took to satisfy God. And because Christ satisfied God on your behalf, you can please God today. Your being here today pleases God. Say amen. You being here today pleases God. Bringing these babies pleases God. And I doubt. I love you. Yeah, something mean's coming. Mike Edrington, what? He's a devil. Oh, my goodness. No, he's not. I seriously doubt if any of us this morning have come here without sinning in the process. And yet you being here, even if you had to make yourself come, pleases God. It ought to be obvious then that not coming displeases God. If you can be here and you are here, that displeases God. There's no question. But listen to me. You're pleasing God or displeasing Him is, in a sense, how shall I say, divorced from God being satisfied with you totally through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. I want you to see it. You know, there's a sense in which God was always satisfied with Christ. I mean, think about it. Christ was the eternal Word before, you know, through all eternity. There's total satisfaction between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And then along comes Christ and produces this satisfaction as a human being. For us, human beings, His elect. I want you to see that Christ satisfied the just and holy law of God for His sheep. And only in the redemption that is in Christ can God or Jesus ever be satisfied with us in the ultimate sense. And I want you to listen to me. When you get to heaven, God will be as totally satisfied with you as He is with Christ, even if we don't please Him like we should while we live here. I want you to understand that. And by the way, if you'll believe that, it'll please God. Did you know what we believe pleases God? If we believe things that aren't right about God, it displeases God. Is there any question about that? You know, as I was saying that to you, I was thinking, you know, I like it if you think better of me than I actually am. If you think I'm, you know, more important than I actually am. Smarter than I actually am. More handsome than I actually am. We can't think better of God than He actually is. No such animal. We can think less of God than He actually is, and that is the problem. He shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. My brothers and sisters, Put in your notes 1 Corinthians 1:30 if you want to. In the atonement of Christ is your perfect righteousness. It is your sanctification. It is your redemption. It is your sinless perfection. And it's given to you through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's unbelievable, isn't it? And as a result, and y'all, it's only because of this. Are you listening? It's only because of that that you and I can please God at all. Okay. Everybody with me? Does that make sense? I know this is like, well, Brother Gary done gone round the bend. Oh, let me have your attention. And I want to do now, the rest of my time, I want to look at three places where we get some practical admonition on pleasing God. And I may preach on this for a Sunday or two if the Lord will bless me. Because, let me say one more time, because God is eternally, absolutely, perfectly satisfied with you because of the death of Christ, we can please God. And you do not have to be personally perfect to do it. That's really what I want you to understand. You do not have to be absolutely perfect to please God. Look, Seth and Christy called and invited me to eat a cheeseburger Friday. Imagine that. Becky done left me. And I met him for a cheeseburger. And of course they had the baby. You know, I'm sorry. And you know what? I got the whole Miles. And he's putting on flesh. And he smiled at me. And I was well pleased. Are you with me? Did y'all know Miles is not perfect? He's just a sinner like all the rest of us. I bet he pleases his parents once in a while. What do you think? Y'all understand what I'm saying? Listen, put out of your mind that you've got to be perfect in your life to please God. Put it out of your mind. Because Christ was perfect for you. Now, God does expect us to improve. There's no question about it. Did you know that He pleases God when we repent? I'm getting ahead of myself here. The angels in heaven rejoice when we repent. Does repentance, is our repentance, which is something we're supposed to do, is that what gets us, is that what makes God satisfied with us? Y'all see how that's not right? God has already satisfied us. Otherwise, we couldn't repent at all. When we repent, it does please God. I want everybody to see this now. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Three places, and my time will be up, I promise you. The Bible study people, I chased a lot of rabbits Wednesday night. I'm trying not to chase rabbits this morning. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. As you're turning to that, I wonder, let me just speculate with you here for just a second. I wonder, when we think that we can be perfect if we're not being a little bit blasphemous almost, and that only Christ could be perfect anyway. Are we supposed to strive to do better? We're supposed to always strive to improve. Strive to be more like Christ. Always, always, always. But you can't let the fact that you're not perfect throw you off track. Are you with me? I have struggled with perfectionism my whole life. My whole life. And perfect, well, not yet. As long as I've been alive, I've struggled with it. I want you to know it's a dead-end street thinking you're going to be perfect. Only Christ was ever perfect, and in him is my perfection and yours. Are you with me? Well, that ought to be a relief. 4:1. I'll get there eventually. Scott thinks I forgot about it. Well, I haven't forgot about it. I just chased a rabbit again. Lay your perfectionism at the feet of Christ. Furthermore, 1 Thessalonians 4:1, we beseech you, brethren. Now remember, he's writing to a church. We beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and please God, so ye would abound more and more. Isn't it interesting that Paul writes to a church and says you can please God? Is Paul saying you've got to be perfect so you can satisfy the just and holy law of God? 1,000 times no. But he is saying you can please God. Now, he says, we have talked about this, and I'm telling you how you ought to walk and please God as you do so. Are you with me? And he also says here, it pleases God if we abound more and more. God does expect us to grow. You know what? It'd be horrible. We got 3 babies in here. I can preach louder than any 3 babies. Don't you worry about that. Wouldn't it be horrible? What a nightmare would it be if these babies weren't growing? We'd be taking them to the doctor. We'd be saying something's wrong if they weren't growing. Might there be a parallel in spiritual matters, my brothers and sisters? I don't want to embarrass you. I bet the parents of the babies in here are well pleased with their babies, even though their babies aren't perfect. Even so, God Almighty. Even so. Lay your perfectionism at the feet of Jesus. Realize that Jesus is your perfection. Not yourself, it's Christ. And because he was perfect, you don't have to be. Now, do we want to be? There's a part of us that wants to be. We've got to watch that too, though. Do you know what the devil will do? Okay. If I don't, I know when to quit. The devil will take your desire to be perfect and beat you down with it. He'll beat you down. And you'll say, well, I can't be perfect, so I'm just going to give up. That's one thing that's wrong with Calvinism. Outrunning the devil every day, and people say, I can't do that, and they give up. It won't work. Lay your perfectionism at the feet of the perfect Christ, the only perfect man that ever was. And he was perfect, not for himself. He didn't need it. He was perfect for his sheep. But as you've received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, you need to abound more and more. Are you with me, brothers and sisters? We ought to walk and please God, and we ought to get better and better. Now, y'all, it's not predestinated, as the Calvinists would tell us. It is not predestinated. That's why it says ought to. Ought to? I mean, what? Now, I will tell you this, though. My daddy told me you ought to do this, you ought to do that. I'd get in trouble if I didn't. Come on now. I guess one way to synopsize this whole crazy sermon. We have the blessed privilege of trying to please God, because he is satisfied with us. In the eternal, ultimate sense, God is totally satisfied with us. So we have the privilege of trying to please our Heavenly Father. In that unbelief. Okay. Colossians 1, 9 and 10. Colossians 1. Have I told you all lately how much I love you? I know what you say. You're like Becky. Becky says, you don't mean it. You say that, that's just words. It is not. Don't forget, Brother Gary's love language is words. You know what Brother Gary's other love language is? Physical touch. That's why I go around loving on you all at lunchtime. Patting you and stuff. I just can't hardly help it. Oh, well, nothing. Where'd that? I don't know. I have no idea where that comes from. Colossians 1, listen to this. 9 and 10. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding so that you can go to heaven. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord. Remember, he's talking to church people. People with whom God is already satisfied. People with whom God will be satisfied in heaven for an eternity. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Do you realize we can walk in a way that pleases God while we live, even though we'll never be perfect, because Christ was perfect for us. His perfection is the basis of all of this. Without that, we have nothing. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful. Did you know it pleases the Lord when we're fruitful in His service? It displeases the Lord when we're not fruitful in His service. There's no question about it. No question. And then notice what he says. Verse 10 again. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Yeah, what that means is this. When we learn something about God, it pleases Him. Now, y'all, I'm going to ask you a question. Are any of us, ever going to attain unto full knowledge of God? Dream on. It's not possible. He is infinite. We'll never know all about God except maybe when we get to heaven. In this life, you can forget it. But y'all, when you learn something about God, learn more about Him, about His church, about His gospel, about His truth, you learn something, guess what? God is well pleased. Do we have to learn to absolute perfection? 1,000 times no. But when we learn, it pleases God. Are you with me? When your children learn, it ought to please you. First time I heard John say, Dadu! He was just teeny, teeny tiny. That pleased me like crazy. That's all he did. Dadu! I wonder, are you listening since I said that? I wonder if when one of the Lord's children is taught the truth of God in Christ and recognizes that God is his Father and says, my Father, Abba Father, I wonder if that might please God. You reckon that pleases God? You bet. I wonder if it pleases God for us to recognize that God fathers us alone. I wonder if it might please God if we realize that we have some of the same spiritual DNA that He has. I wonder if that might please God a little bit. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And y'all, I'm going to tell you, my prayer for our people here is that we would walk worthy of the pleasing of God and increase more and more as a local assembly. Y'all as individuals, as a local assembly, I pray God will bless us to increase in the knowledge of God. This is why it's so important for you to be here, why it is so important for you to read the Bible at home, attend Bible study, pay attention to stuff, the things of God. All right. That's Colossians. Well, now let's turn to 2 Timothy 2:4. 2 Timothy 2:4. Okay? 2 Timothy 2:4. Now, I know that this is a lot of times used to talk about preachers, and that's true, but it also applies to all of us. So 2 Timothy 2:4, okay? This will be the last place we'll look at today, I think. Everybody there? No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You say, well, that's just talking about preachers. Well, preachers, it applies to preachers in a very particular, special way. There's no question. But I want to ask you, are we not all soldiers of the cross? Are we not all? Am I a soldier of the cross? A follower of the Lamb? My brothers and sisters, there's a warfare for each and every one of us. Of course, there's a warfare for, there's no question. But notice what he's saying here. No man that warreth gets too tangled up with the affairs of this life. Why? So that he can please whoever it is that's his commanding officer. Right? Are you listening? Y'all, this is pleasing God I'm talking about. Not satisfying a just and holy God. Pleasing God. I ask you, can we or can we not get so tangled up in the affairs of this life that we fail to please our captain? Can't we? We get so tangled up in stuff. Remember Jake talking here a while back about the battle for the mind? Y'all, we get tangled, our minds get so tangled up. Come on now. Does your mind get tangled up? This week, I have gotten very sick and tired, I'm trying to be nice, of hearing about all the protests on campuses across the country. I'm mad enough to go out in the backyard a while ago. What? You know, somebody's paying them people to protest. They don't even know what... Okay, don't get me started. Do you realize what's going on? Brother Gary is letting his mind get so tangled up in the junk of this world that I might have trouble pleasing God in my mind. Are you, y'all, I'm not talking about satisfying God. I'm talking about pleasing God. Everybody see the difference? I hope you see the difference. The only way I can even please God at all is if Christ satisfied God on my behalf. But this is saying we can get so tangled up in our lives. And y'all, we can even get tangled up with something that's really good, but we get so tangled up in it that it keeps us from pleasing our commanding officer. Y'all, this can happen when we're not even aware of it. How easy is it for us to drift away? Y'all listen to me. You do not have to try to drift away. When you quit trying is when you drift away. And then what happens? I've seen it over and over. We wake up, we come to ourselves, and we're so far away from God, we don't understand it. I mean, we ask ourselves, how did my life get in such a shape? You cannot know the people I have counseled with that asked me that very question. Are y'all listening? My brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you flat out, if we're going to please God, I'm not talking about satisfying God, if we're going to please God, we must not get too tangled up in the affairs of this world. We must not get too tangled up with the ideas of this world, with the philosophies of this world, with the doctrines of this world, with the theologies of this world. We must not. Our jobs, this is mean, families, hobbies, you cannot know how badly I'd like to be in a bluegrass band. Bad. Bad. I mean, I wish John still lived here. And if John and Seth lived, I'd be after him. And I've already told him, you know, we don't have to be in a bluegrass band anymore. I promised him I wouldn't bother him with it anymore. And I'd still wish we could be in a bluegrass band. You can't know. And then what we might do, you know, we might gig around a little bit. And then we get invited to play at the stationed in Nashville on Saturday night, and I'd have to miss church. That's getting tangled up. Politics. I'll get you tangled up. Antisocial media. We'll get you tangled up. Or can. See, y'all, these things are not necessarily bad, but we got to be careful. Don't get too tangled up in this stuff that you can't follow God, that you can't please God. God is our captain. He's the captain of our salvation. We're in the Lord's army. And guess what? God is so good. Because Christ satisfied the Father on your behalf, God is so good that whenever you make the decision to untangle yourself a little bit, it is well pleasing to God. Based entirely and completely on the satisfaction of Christ that God made on your behalf. Do you see, my brothers and sisters?